God has given you a spiritual gift. One of the reasons why so many believers live frustrated lives is simply because maybe they've never been taught about their spiritual gift. They don't know how to plug in, and they miss out on a wonderful God-given life. They never really make much of an impact on anybody else's life. They never really find out what life is all about. They go through life sort of floating by, and as they go through life, they miss out on the blessings of God. They miss out on leaving a legacy, and they get to the end of their life, and they really know that they've really not lived this one God-given life to the absolute maximum. Now, you have a decision-making ability inside of your being. You choose what you will do with your life. You do not choose if you will die. You do not choose if you'll stand in the presence of God. That's already fixed. You do choose what He says about you based on what you have done with this one God-given life. And Paul is talking to the church at Rome, and he's also talking to them in the book of Colossians, and he's reminding them to exercise and to utilize their God-given gift. Every one of us have been given one. You're a child of the living God. You have a God-given gift. And so listen carefully in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and then over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Listen carefully. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, listen to his words, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, Paul is talking to the saints at Rome, and he's again reminding the saints at Colossae. He says, you need to understand that the God that created you has given you a God-given gift. It is not something that you can use in and of yourself to bring glory to him. It is something that he has given you. It is an area in which he has gifted you. And when everyone is using their gifts, the church works wonderfully, just like our body. Remember I shared last week, he gives enough in the fellowship to function just like we all have, you know, each one of us. We have one nose, we have two arms, and we have one tongue, we have ears, two ears. And, you know, every one of us have been given enough members in this one body so that you could run and you can function efficiently. Imagine if you had three legs or four legs. Imagine what you would look like. You know, this person's got three legs, and this person's got six legs, and this person's got two. And every one of us have been designed, and you look at your body and how it works efficiently, effectively, and some people are in the hospital this morning trying to get their body fixed because it's not working right, and so they're there to get it to working right. Why? Because there is something inside of us that knows that when we're not functioning at our capacity, something is wrong. When you're not functioning where God calls you to function, then there is something wrong, and one of the things could very well be that you've not learned your spiritual gift. Now, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you may not be aware of your spiritual gift yet, but God has given every one of us a spiritual gift. Now, you remember I've already dealt with different ones, and you know, a person who has the gift of exhortation that we're going to look at this morning has that gift whereby he's out to encourage and exhort others and guide them on towards spiritual maturity. And Paul, in this one passage of Scripture, he says, I want you to understand that there are some who have the gift of teaching, some who have the gift of exhorting. So that's what I want us to look at this morning, the gift of exhorting. Why? Because it is so important you lock in and utilize your God-given gift. Now, I've already dealt with the gift of prophecy and the gift of service. That person who is a prophet, they're truth-oriented. They've got to get the truth out. They want to get the truth out. Person who is a servant, they're service-oriented. Now, they may not be able to teach a Sunday school class or stand in front of, but they love to serve. That's what their gift is. You give them a responsibility behind the scenes, and they're there. They're service-oriented. And then there are those who have the gift of exhortation, and I don't believe there is anybody in all the Bible like Paul who had the gift of exhortation. What is the gift of exhortation? That is that person who encourages others on towards spiritual maturity. As a matter of fact, the person who has the gift of exhortation, they teach the truth, but here's what they want others to do. They want them to take the truth, apply the truth, and watch as they grow in their daily life. So a person with the gift of exhortation is maturity-oriented. Why? Because it's a big deal in his or her life that you grow in grace and knowledge. It was a big deal in the life of Paul that the believers grow up. Think about it a minute. Imagine if I looked out on this congregation, and you can name however old you were, but you hadn't grown over maybe the age of 5 or 6. In other words, in height. You still look like you did when you was 5 or 6. Something would be wrong if you said, you know what, I'm 72 years old, but you look like you still did when you was 5 or 6. Because some growing has not taken place. Had a chance some years ago to go to Russia, and we visited one of the orphanages, and we went through one of the rooms and where they kept the babies, and in this one little area, there was some babies. Nobody, parents were dead, and nobody knew who their parents were. And cribs were lined up all along the room, and we walked, and as I came to this one bed, I'll never forget it, little bitty baby, I thought, in that bed, about that long, probably no taller than that. And the doctor said, do you know how old this child is? And I didn't have a clue, and I said, this child is 16 years of age. And I looked at that child again, and I thought, something has radically happened in your life. Of course, baby's still there, to the best of my knowledge, unless it's on home to be with the Lord. Well, you know, God wants you and me to grow up. And if you look at this passage of Scripture, I want to deal with this morning the gift of exhortation, because I want us to look at some principles that are out of this gift, because you've been saved by God. If you're a Christian, not just to squander your life, but you've been saved to use your God-given gifts for His glory. So what is a person like who has the gift of exhortation? What are they like? Well, number one, a person with the gift of exhortation urges other people on towards spiritual maturity. Now, if you will read Paul's letters very carefully, you will find that in his life, the definition of exhort simply means to encourage and to push others on and to get others to move on spiritually. That was exactly who Paul was. He went everywhere he could preaching the gospel. It wasn't just enough for people to say they were saved. He wanted to see evidence out of their life. He wanted to see them growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way a person who has the gift of exhortation today. If that person has a gift of exhortation, one of the things that he loves to do, if he's a Sunday school teacher or she's a Sunday school teacher, it's not just enough to teach a Sunday school class. They want to see it fleshed out, want to see you growing in life, want to see you advancing. He was so oriented, Paul was, to spiritual truth. He said, I'm glad that things happen in my life so it can advance me and can advance you. Why? Because a person who is spiritual mature, listen, the storms are going to come someday, my dear friend. The Bible says in Matthew, the storms are going to come, the winds are going to blow, and they're going to howl on your life. And a person who has the gift of exhortation, their goal is get ready for the storms and grow up. Grow up in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they are going to come. They are going to come to your life. They're going to come someday, sometime, somewhere. And what you have done in your life at that moment will be the deciding factor. And a person who has the gift of exhortation, listen, they drive you on toward growing up. Don't just read the Word of God. Read it, reread it, reread it is what an exhorter will say. Why? Because they want you to learn to grow. Listen, it is important to read your Bible. It's important to read your Bible regularly. Listen to me very carefully. There are some people who can say, well, you know what? I've read my Bible through a whole bunch of times. But a person who has the gift of exhorting says, what have you learned? What has God showed you? How has God been working in your life? And you see, a person who has the gift of exhortation, they declare the truth. But they want other individuals to grow. Paul was very much onto the people in Rome and Colossae and Thessalonica. He was very much, because he said, you need to grow. And you know what happens when you don't grow? You fall back. Listen to what Paul said one time about a young man who had decided he didn't want to grow. Demas, the Bible says, was with Paul on some missionary journeys. But all of a sudden, the Bible in one passage of Scripture sort of takes an abrupt turn, and Paul says these words about a man by the name of Demas. He said, Demas, who loves the world, has forsaken me. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. If time stands and the Lord has not come, a year will go by, 2 years will go by, 5 years, 10 years will go by. But where will you be in 1, 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Some of you may be so ungrounded spiritually that something's going to come in your life and you're going to leave church. You're going to leave church behind. Why? Because you've not grown up in the truth. And that's what an exhorter says. That's why Paul was wanting the people to get the word of God in their heart. And, you know, a person who has the gift of exhortation, listen, they can visualize, secondly, what others can become. Paul said, grow in the grace of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, you read Paul, and there's some verses that just don't really make a lot of sense. For example, he said, I take pleasure in distresses. Listen to that phrase. I take pleasure. Men, do you take pleasure in distresses? I'll be honest with you, a lot of distresses I don't like. Yesterday I got home to mow my yard, my lawnmower didn't work. That distressed me. Raised my lawnmower up, trying to work on it, and I did something that I went in and I said, honey, can you come out here and help me? She said, I'll be glad to. What do I need to do? I said, if you just hold this wrench right here. And you see, there's distresses that come in life. Listen, if you're honest with yourself, there are distresses that come. Paul says, I take delight in them. Why, Paul? Because all things work together for good to them that love God. He did not say that everything is good. He didn't say that everything feels good. He did not even say that he likes everything in life. But here's what he did say. Everything works together for good. Listen, God's in control of this world. Amen? God's in control of what happens in this world, and that means God's in control of everything that happens to you. Was God in control of my lawnmower not working? I believe so. Because it called me to be patient. I could have quit, got frustrated, but I just hung with it. And I have to announce, I finally got my yard mowed, and it looks pretty good. Listen, Paul says, a person who has the gift of exhorting, they love to teach others, and they teach them maybe point by point by point. And as I've gone through this series, God's called me to look at my life and reinvestigate my life. Where's my gift? What are my gifts? And you see, one of the things in an encourager's life and an exhorter, and that's a synonymous word, he's out to encourage people. Why? Because there's a lot of things that get discouraging and distressing. But the truth is, we ain't home yet, are we? The Bible says God, in his wonderful, infinite wisdom, he's creating, allowing all things to work together. And some of you are going through some real distressing times in your life saying, why is this happening in my life? Why is this happening? Could be to allow you to draw closer to God. Listen, nothing can be all bad. Sickness, tragedy, calamity, nothing can be all bad if it drives you to God. And that's what Paul knew. Listen, Paul was shipwrecked. You need to read just some of the bad things that happened to his life. He was shipwrecked. He was beat half to death. And yet here's Paul, one of the greatest encouragers. Why? Because he knew that, listen, God is in control of every event, every circumstance in life. And that's the nature of God. He's not going to let anything happen to your life but what is under his divine orchestration. You may not think it is. You may not think things are going on according to God's divine, but you see, that's what an exhorter does. They visualize. And that's one of the things, you know, a person who has the gift of exhortation, and I can think of some of my Sunday school teachers, they were exhorters because, law me, you know, when I was a little kid, like many of us, you know, Sunday school, mom and dad, we always went to Sunday school. We lived right next door to the church. Sunday school class, and I'd to think about some of my precious teachers, how just encouraging they were. They loved me. They just, because they saw potential. Now listen, if a person who has the gift of encouragement, one of the things they do, they don't belittle, they don't demean. You know what they see? They see potential. They see potential in little lives because little lives are going to grow up and become grown-up lives. Just like Darren Johnson last week. My mind is going back to remembering little Darren Johnson 16, 17 years ago. And he was little. He was about 1 year old when I first met him. He's become a wonderful young man because God has grown. And you see, that's what an encourager does, an exhorter. They see the potential. You know, all those people that talked about you may have said things to you that say, well, there's so-and-so. I remember Mark Lowry talking about a person that belittled him and put him down. And you'd hear him sometimes on some of the places where God would put him. And, you know, he remembered and remembered how that lady demeaned him and put him down. You know what a person who has the gift of exhortation? They see the positive. And you see, Paul could see other individuals. And, you know, sometimes a person may be guilty of saying, well, you know, that type of person just looks through things with rose-colored glasses. Now, listen to me real carefully. Sometimes the way we are, wouldn't you love for somebody to look at you through rose-colored glasses and not look at all your faults and blemishes and bumps and look at your potential? You know, that's the way our Heavenly Father is. And a person who has the gift of exhortation, listen, they look and see what a person can become. Well, number three, a person with the gift of exhortation has the ability to pick up on where another person is spiritually. Now, one of the things that really excites a person who has the gift of exhortation is you may be talking to someone, and just this past week, and I think this is an area where God has also helped me and maybe gifted me. I was talking to someone, and I immediately picked up where he was, and he shared some things out of his heart. But here's what a person who has the gift of encouragement. Now watch carefully. And they may ask some questions like, what's God doing in your life? Now listen to me very carefully. Listen. You're created by God. Amen? You're created for God. So don't you think that God is up to something in your life? If you're created by Him, created for Him, surely He's up to something in your life. And a person who has the gift of exhortation, they may ask you some bold questions. What's God up to in your life? What are you doing to walk in the will of God? What are you doing, young people, to walk in the will of God? What are you doing to follow the will of God? What are you doing to allow the God who created you to live His life out in you? To those of you that are older, to their senior, what are you doing to show that life to young people? What are you doing to allow young people to see the God that created you and they see the flame and the fire and the excitement you have for God? Or do they see it? Those of us that are older, it ought to be that younger people can see the fire of God, the love of God, the flame of God in our life. Why? Because there is something about an older person that doesn't lose his fire. And you see, that was the life of Paul. I'm just amazed. As I read Paul, you know, he was always encouraging. And a lot of his letters were written from prison. The book of Colossians was written from a prison. And he said on one occasion, I wish you all were as I were, except for these chains in the book of Acts. Why? Because he was out to encourage. And you see, here's the exciting thing about a person who has the gift of exhortation, and it may be you in the home, Dad. You may be the one that exhorts and encourages because your son, your daughter, grandson, they need encouragement. There were some times in my life that I thank God for my godly mother. And she would quickly take me to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That was her theme verse. She said, now, Benny, I can just hear her voice in my mind's eye. She said, now, Benny, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge Him. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. God knows what's going on in your life, son. Sometimes you, oh, Mom, but you know what? When you get all alone, when you have your tough times, you gravitate to those people that are encouragers. Now listen to me real carefully. You may not be serious about your God-given gift, but God is. You may not be serious about exercising it, but the God who created you is. And the God that created you is watching to see what you do with it. It may be one person in your life you miss out on, encouraging. And you live thinking, and you go back and think, what did I miss out on? What did I miss out in that person? You see, whenever you and I use our God-given abilities, there is something about that gift. Well, number four, a person who has been given the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement, they love to give precise steps to help others advance spiritually. Sometimes it'll be my opportunity to talk to some individuals. They'll come in my office and they'll have, I mean, it'll be all hell in their life. And that's just to put it mildly. I mean, it's all hell and all trouble and all difficulty. And as I sit there and listen, and sometimes I'll do it even unconsciously, I'll smile. And as I talk to them, I say, I know you're probably wondering why I'm smiling. But one of the things that I have the joy of sharing, when life is dark, that is usually, and I've found this in my own life, that is the point where God is getting ready to do something wonderful, fantastic, and amazing. Let me give you a case in point. He's with the Lord, and he'd love for me to use it. Brother Henry, many of you remember him. Many of you know that someone, ungodly man, shot and killed his granddaughter and shot her in the back. Not only did they shoot his granddaughter in the back, but they decided to get rid of the body by tying a block to her foot and throwing her in the Carr's Fork Lake. They would have succeeded except there was a flood and the body was found and the man was put in prison and he's still there to this day serving a life term. One day as we was traveling to Lexington, it was eating him alive. And he was talking to me about the murderer. He was telling me about the man that had murdered his granddaughter. And I saw a picture of her, and she's such a precious daughter, granddaughter. And he said, I just can't get over this. It's eating me alive. One of the most hideous events in life, and here's, God gave me an opportunity to share to Henry about how to forgive. And I said, and I'll say to you what I told him then. I said, Henry, you can forgive her. Forgive him. Would you like to forgive him? Traveling to Lexington, around Berea, around Mount Vernon, he said, yes, I would. We pulled over to the side of the road, and he prayed, and I led him in a prayer. And I could only lead him in it because there had been some things that God brought me through. And he said, Lord God, I forgive, and he named the man's name, for shooting and killing my granddaughter. I forgive him, and I release him, and I set him free. He never owes me an apology. He doesn't have to say, I'm sorry to me. I forgive him completely and absolutely based on the shed blood of Jesus. There was a pause about like that, and he looked over, and I was driving, and he said, it's gone. Friends, God puts people in your life to help you in the situations. And as I sat there, I thought, God, I understand now. I understand why you took me through some things in my own life of having to forgive some people. I understand because I couldn't have prayed this prayer. I wouldn't have known what to pray or what to say. I would have been no help to one of my most precious friends. And when he was able to look at me and to say, it's gone. And it was really gone. Now, the man don't need to be set free. He's committed a crime and needs to pay the time. But listen, when you use your God-given gift, God may well put you in a situation like that. You say, well, I don't know if I can handle it. It's not you, friend. It is the God of the universe that saved you and that gifts you because he gifts you to be a blessing to other people. And people come into your life and you think, why is that person? I seem like I get all the negatives in life. It could very well be because you are the only one that will listen to them. You are the only one that will be encouragement. Everybody else don't have time except for you. And you see the opportunity to make a difference. You see the opportunity to be the blessing. Henry said, and I'll never forget it. He said, Benny, I never go by that spot in the road on my way to Lexington. But what I remember, I forgave him. You see, When you utilize your God-given gift, it's used for others. And a person who has the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation, one of the things they do, there are so many people you come into contact with that you can be a blessing, that you can be an encouragement to if you have this God-given gift. Somebody comes in your workplace and they're down in the mouth. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know a whole lot about it. You don't have to know a whole lot where God's gifted you. Wherever God gifts you, he gives you that ability. So a person who has the gift of encouragement, they're wanting others to advance. And number five, a person with the gift of exhortation, they may even welcome trouble and tribulation so they can be a blessing. Listen to what Paul said. Paul, in one occasion that I mentioned a moment ago, he said, I delight in distresses. I delighted in distresses. Why? He said, I take delight in sufferings, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What, Paul, are you saying? He said, I've found a principle at work. When I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say and I am weak, there is the point that the power of the Spirit of the living God is at work in and through my life. And you see, the thing about it is, think about this. How many people do you walk by in life and don't even try to touch? I don't have time. Tell that to Jesus in the judgment. You don't have time. Tell that to Jesus when you stand in his presence and you don't have time to make an eternal impact. You may not have 15, 30, 45 minutes. It could just be 4 or 5 words. You know, God's going to put you around somebody else. And you see, one of the things about a person with a gift of encouragement and gift of exhortation, Paul said, I take delight in distresses. Why? Listen. Paul knew that other people were watching him. And I say this to our senior adults. Do you realize how many people are watching you? Now, the little ones, you know, they always draw attention. But how many people are watching your life? How many people are drawing some notions about God and Christianity through your life? You see, Paul was aware that pain and tribulation was one of those ways that God uses. You know, God uses pain, God uses tribulation, God uses turmoil. Why? Because that's just some of the reality. Listen, that's what the Bible says. Because when you get in pain and tribulation and trouble, you find out who you really are. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and also chapter 7, especially chapter 7, 2 men built their house. You remember me sharing it? The winds came and beat on their houses. One fell and the other stood. You're going to get some winds. What you have done, if you've listened, and Paul knew that these people in Rome and these people in Colossae were going to have the storms, and so are you and me. Person with the gift of encouragement, they may even welcome disaster. Disaster? Paul says, I take delight. Now, because, listen carefully, how many of us have decided we're not going to die? I heard George Burns say one time, somebody asked him, said, he was about 100 at this point, and they said, what are you going to do when old man death comes knocking at your door? He said, I won't answer it. Sounds noble. He's dead. You see, you're going to die. And all these things are preparation for your judgment, my judgment. Because other people are going to be affected by your life. Well, number six, listen carefully. A person with the gift of exhortation, they have the ability to bring harmony between diverse groups. One of the things about a person who has the gift of exhortation, listen, they're out to encourage, and they have one goal in mind, to bring glory to God in their life. Paul, listen, he took people, he took Jews, he took Gentiles, and he brought harmony together. And they had a lot of different background. I mean, the Jews didn't have any dealings with the Gentiles. Gentiles didn't have any... But he brought them together under the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, there's something about that person who has the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation. You may be one of them. You say, well, Pastor, I see that this is part of, I love to encourage people. Then that's your gift. Then what do I need to do, Pastor? You need to fan it into flame. You need to use it, utilize it every opportunity you have the opportunity to. You see, sometimes people just need one word or one phrase. Sometimes people just need a couple of words. Well, lastly, a person with the gift of exhortation, love to watch people grow. I don't believe there was anything any more grieving to the heart of Paul and a person who has the gift of exhortation than to see people that claim to know the Lord that don't grow. If God asks you to evaluate your spiritual life, how old are you? You see, being an older Christian don't mean you're mature. Being a young Christian don't mean you're immature. I've seen some very mature young Christians who walk by faith and talk about their walk with, and they show their walk with God. And being older don't mean you're mature either. You can be older and not walk by faith and not live by faith, live by sight and all these other things. But you see, one of the things about a person who has the gift of encouragement, they love to watch people grow. And I'm sure it probably broke Paul's heart whenever Demas, he says, "Demas, who loves the world, has forsaken me." I wonder in some of the moments of Paul's life if he wondered where Demas was. I'm sure he did. I wonder what Demas is doing. Paul didn't go running after him because God won't make you use your gift. Now listen to me very carefully. God loves you. He cares about you. He's gracious to you, but here's what he won't do. He won't make you. You say, "Now wait just a minute. That's not what I understand." He won't. He won't make you use your gift. You can let your gift lay dormant. You can let your gift just lay there. You know you've got a God-given gift, but you've not used it. Not about to use it. You don't have to. It'll lay there. It'll lay there. It'll lay there. You'll get a little older. You'll get a little older. You'll get a little older. Then you'll die and stand in the presence of the Lord. Paul, whenever he had finished his life, the greatest encourager. Let me give you an idea. Probably more people have gone to Paul's writings, I know I have, than probably any other person in the Bible. Why? Because Paul was one of the greatest exhorters and encouragers this world has ever known. Because you see, whenever he got ready to finish his life, he shows you how to live your life and how to end well. Here's what he says. He's an old man getting ready to be executed. He says, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth," I love this part, "there is laid up for," you know the next word? "Me." Listen to what Paul says. "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all who love his appearing." And friend, you can't love his appearing if you know you're squandering your life. When you squander your life and throw your life away, you find in his presence you'll have missed a great deal. Heavenly Father,